case you haven't turned on the news lately or opened up a newspaper, it seems like no matter where we turn, we are being bombarded with fear. Whether it's climate change, mass shootings, trade wars, it seems like there's always another news story focusing on something we should be afraid of. If it's not something, it's someone we are being told to fear. From Facebook posts and Twitter rants to political rallies and debates, we are being bombarded with fear. You can't even watch a late night comedy show without feeling like there's a bit of fear coming from behind the humor. No matter where you stand on any issue, it feels as if we are being told to fear the other. Every day we have new concrete examples of things to fear. And eventually it begins to feel as if letting the fear continue and grow is easier than searching for and creating hope. And some days, maybe it is. But in today's scripture from Luke, Jesus reminds us, do not be afraid, because God is giving us the kingdom. But he doesn't end there. To escape the fear, to get to the hope, to get to God's kingdom, there's work to be done. We must prepare. In explaining how to prepare for the coming of God's kingdom, Jesus was likely drawing from the messages of the Jewish prophets, particularly Isaiah. And so when we reflect back on Isaiah's scripture, we're introduced to the major theme. One cannot claim to be part of God's people while ignoring the oppressed, let alone being one doing the oppression. But, I hear you saying, Isaiah ends with threats of doing wrong. Doesn't Isaiah add to fear? Sometimes it's hard and we struggle with this question, especially after centuries of Christian tradition saying that God in the Old Testament is angry and the God of the New Testament is a loving God. Yes, Isaiah is writing of an angry God, but he is also writing about a God who is frustrated with the people God loves. The God of Isaiah is still a God of love. It is not anger that must be feared, but an anger born of love. It is a call to wake up. Listen to what I am telling you. This warning is for your own good. When reading Isaiah, I like to think of God as a parent or caregiver. God does not want to punish us any more than we want to be punished when making a mistake. However, God does want us to pay attention to what is being said and learn from it. My guess is that each of us has a story about a time when we didn't want to listen to advice from a parent, or maybe you were the parent that was trying to give advice and your kids didn't want to listen to you. And maybe your mom or your dad or the caregiver or the person that was trying to get you to listen to the advice got angry and made threats. And yet, after you listened to the threats and you did what they said, grudgingly, of course, but you still follow the advice and the warning, you're really glad you did. Not because you avoided punishment, but because it helped you get safely through what might have been a dangerous or difficult or embarrassing situation. Listening made life just a little bit better in that moment. When we listen to today's Isaiah scripture and look beyond the punishment parts, we see that God is warning us that worship alone is not enough to prepare us for God's kingdom. Isaiah would tell us that attending church on Sunday is not enough if during the week fears from the outside world prevent us from seeking justice for the oppressed. Prevent us from providing comfort to the poor. Prevent us from being peacemakers to a broken world. Prevent us from the important job of acknowledging the other. I will be the first to admit how easy it is to let day-to-day fears turn our attention away from the messages we hear on Sundays, to put my own needs above those less fortunate than myself. We don't want to lose our comfortable lifestyle. We don't want to speak out for the marginalized in fear of becoming marginalized ourselves. We don't want to go stand up and protest for fear of the law. But when we pay attention to what God is asking us to do, when we work to put aside the fears and focus on hope, we not only prepare for inheriting God's kingdom in the future, we begin to create God's kingdom here on earth. We create a world where love and compassion reign, and no one is left behind or out. Now, when we go back to the Luke scripture, the immediate line following, "Do not be afraid," is "Sell your possessions and give those in need." If we take this line literally, it seems almost impossible to do. For me, thinking of selling all my possessions and giving to those in need creates more doubts and fears than hope. If I sell all of my stuff, am I not just adding to the world's problem and creating more mouths to feed? Yet if we interpret this statement of selling possessions and giving to those in need through the eyes of Isaiah, it does the opposite. In expanding this line beyond the literal meaning, I hear it saying, get rid of your fears. Get rid of your fears of the other. Get rid of your fears for fighting the oppressed. Get rid of your fears of the downtrodden. Use the time and energy that you devoted to your anxiety and your fears to work for justice for them instead. For in doing this, we create a community where all are loved and respected, and hope triumphs over fear. After last week, there were a lot of questions about how to find hope when so many people were dying. In times of tragedy, Mr. Rogers was known to tell people what his mother told him. Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. I would amend this to say that just in general, look for the people coming together, those who not only help, but who recognize that this time of tragedy is a time for connecting, not dividing. Look for the vigils. Look for the people going to do blood donations. Look for the people speaking out against the hate. Look for the people taking action and calling their legislators. Now, I will admit also that it's not always perfect. There is still work to be done. In the midst of all the hope that we find in the tragedy, there are still issues around mental health, and we still continue to hear words of supremacy and racism, so we still let the fear in sometimes. But when we realize that at least there's work to be done instead of ignoring it, because there's always going to be a lot of work to be done because we're human, but when we admit that there is work to be done, we are still triumphing over fear. Sometimes, when the world is so unjust and sorrowful, We wonder, where does Jesus find a moment? Where does Jesus find hope? Does Jesus find hope? Based on today's scripture, yes. Because it is in these moments, these small little moments, that the world shows we can become peaceful. We can become one. The world shows that we choose love and peace over fear. Jesus tells us not to be afraid and promises us God's blessing. But he also says, be prepared. For you do not know when the blessings will come. Isaiah tells us that we will receive God's blessings when we put aside our pride and arrogance and seek justice. He tells us not only how we are to prepare for God's blessings, but how to find them here on earth right now. As Jesus tells us in Luke, God has given us the kingdom already. Maybe the intention of Jesus' don't be afraid is really stop worrying. Stop worrying about when the blessings come. Instead, prepare for them by following God's will, and in doing so, create blessings here on earth for everyone right now. May it be so.